Come on, people! It's time to live it up!
Really?
Yes. Exciting.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Rosemary Rodriguez, your host of the director's chair at WePlayRadio.com. For those of you who are turning in for the first time, I'm a filmmaker, TV director, and one of the shows that I directed was my favorite experience, no bullshit, not because she's sitting right here, is Jessica Jones, the Marvel Netflix series. And I'm like beyond excited, super excited, I swear to God, to have Kristen Ritter here.
I'm so excited to be here. I just want to hang out with you.
Oh, my God.
You were
this
like,
is the best
way. You asked if I wanted to do it. Perfect. I get to see you.
Oh, my God. It's so awesome because, okay, well, because you're Jessica Jones, that's one thing. But also what people don't know about you, why I wanted to have you on here, is because not only are you a kick-ass actress and a kick-ass human being, but you're a great collaborator. And I wanted to do this show to talk about collaborating, you know, artist to artist, and... So I was just really excited because I had a really good time working with you, and I sort of learned from you, and I felt like it was just really, it was a lot of pressure, that job.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt a lot of pressure on that job from the first audition. There's always a lot of pressure because, you know, it's a big financial investment for a lot of people. It's a part of a bigger scope, you know, it includes 4 shows and The Defenders. So 5 shows. And Jessica Jones appears in not only Jessica Jones, but The Defenders. So it's always a lot of pressure.
And a lot of fans.
And a lot of fans.
Expectations, yeah. Right?
Yeah, a major fan base. Marvel's fan base is huge.
Right.
And you want to make them happy. And, you know, it's Marvel doing something they have not done before with a female lead. It's a psychological thriller. It's not this big, crazy, you know, testosterone-driven, stunt-heavy show.
Right.
Additionally, when I read the scripts, they were so amazing. It was so groundbreaking in how this woman was portrayed, never being gender first. Mm-hmm. It was the first kick-ass, vulnerable, strong, tough, powerful, flawed, complex character that I've seen. And so I put a lot of pressure on myself. I felt pressure, but it was also, there was some self-inflicted as well. And then on top of that, there's a lot to shoot every day.
Right.
You got to make your days. As you know, television is a grind. You go and go and go. And
well, I think sometimes
it's a heavy load.
People don't know. Like, I think, you know, actors and people in the audience don't necessarily know that when you're number one, we call it number one on the call sheet, and you're the lead of a show, that, and your name, and also when your name,
yep,
the character's name is the name of the show,
yep,
chances are you're going to be in almost every scene of the show.
Yeah.
Because the story is sort of hooked around you and what's going on with you.
Yeah. And with Jessica in particular, the story was also told through her POV.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not only like in everything, but I was the entry point for
right.
the show.
Right.
So I've been the number one on a show before, but it was nothing. It was nothing
like
this.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So, The Bitch in Apartment 23.
Yeah.
You were number one.
Yeah.
That's a totally different show. Network show.
Totally.
Completely different with our friend James Vanderbeek.
Who we love. I love James Vanderbeek.
Me too.
He's heaven. He's such a good guy. He's just so positive. We had such a great time on that show.
And he has this gorgeous family.
Gorgeous family.
I know. He's a good guy. Like
ever-expanding, gorgeous family.
I'm really happy for him.
Me too.
So what was the difference? How was did you feel the same amount of pressure on that show?
No. I it was a very different experience in every way. I think it starts because the roles are so different.
Right.
And the tone is so different. When you're doing... And the reason why I love doing comedy, I love doing drama as well. I like to switch it up. But I've always loved doing comedy because you're laughing all day. And that translates everywhere.
Right.
So if you're laughing in a scene and having a great time, chances are that's exactly what's happening in between takes.
Right.
I know that's probably not the case for everybody. I mean, I hear stories and I'm like, it's like that. But for The Bitch in Apartment 23, it was like that.
But if you have great chemistry with your co-stars, then it's easy, right?
We had great chemistry. Ninochka Khan, our showrunner, and I we're just like, we like share a brain or something. There's some kind of chemistry between us that is pretty special. And it was just like kismet.
Yeah.
We had an amazing open dialogue. I was always like trying to come up with ways to get her to laugh because she's so funny that if you can make her laugh, then it's the real deal.
Well, you're pretty cool because that's one of the things about you. Sometimes, you know, look, I'm a guest director and I go around here to there to there. And sometimes you notice that thing. And I don't want to make this conversation about girls, but you can't help but notice sometimes people are more comfortable with guy directors than female directors. Some people, you know, it's just a different vibe or something. And I felt like from the beginning we had a great first AD, yep. Betty Ann Fishman, yep. Who I think like sort of paved the way a little bit. Yep. And also I had got in touch with James and said, hey, put in a good word for me. Yep. Like, let her know I'm cool.
Well, I had already heard so many great things about you that we like from day one were, you know what I mean?
I felt like I had like a champion. I mean, one of the challenges of my job is like people don't really necessarily know, but, you know, I read all of Alias. Like, you know, I read all the scripts. I watch whatever they allow me to watch.
Yeah, you would come like having done so much research.
I did a lot of research. And I do that everywhere I go, right? So people don't necessarily know that like when I show up for a job, even though that's not my home, it's my home for that moment. Like right. I am fully in that planet. I put my heart and my soul, like I'm there. So sometimes people don't know that because I'm just a stranger. I always feel like the directors in television is like the aunt who comes at Christmas. And like you want her to bring good shit, but then you want to get the fuck out. Because like...
And it's interesting how different personalities sort of handle that. Because some people come in and like, I'm the boss.
No.
Listen to me. And then other people come in and they're like unsure, or like maybe deferential because it's not their home. And then right. some people come in like you and own it and they're positive and they're like, where do I start? How do I fit in? Let's make it fun.
Yeah. But you help that.
Well, that's because that's also important to me. And that's how I like to work.
I know. It was really good. It was so great. And I just find, you know, more and more as I've gone through this process, how much I love actors. Like, I just do. And that's just grace. That's just like, I just love you guys. I love what you do. I can't believe of everyone on set, I can pretty much do anybody's job. Not nearly as good as them. Mm-hmm. I can pretty much do their job. But your job, like, this is hard enough. Doing a podcast is awesome, but knowing that it's on YouTube is a little painful because, like, I'm just a behind-the-camera kind of person. But the way you guys put yourselves out there,
you know what?
Is astonishing.
I got to say, like, I am also a behind-the-camera kind of person. It's weird. Acting is one thing. I don't... this, to me, doing something that's an interview or any kind of press or talk shows... things like that are much more difficult, and it's different than acting and having a character and having like this machine set up, and you don't feel like you have a lot of, I don't know why, but you don't feel like you have a lot of eyeballs on you when you're
also,
doing it.
Right, but also you're not.
I'm not me.
You're not.
I'm not
you're
playing
not
Kristen
reading,
Ritter.
You're not like I've done your homework and like saying your lines.
Right.
And like this is like loose, and we don't know what we're gonna say, and there's a certain vulnerability to it.
Yeah.
You know, but I like that. I mean, that's fun. And for me, this is as close to being on set as I'm going to be without actually being on set.
Right.
To get to hang out with you for a little while.
Right, totally.
You know what I mean? Which is so fucking cool. So going back to, like, Jessica Jones. So how did you, like, how much did you play a part in, like, deciding what her, like, costume, what her outfit was going to be? Or how much do you feel you had an opportunity to create that character? All around.
I'm really fortunate in the experience that I had a lot to say about how I was going to play her and what she was going to wear and look like and feel. I had early conversations with Melissa and with SJ, who was our pilot director, as you know, about like SJ had like already like all of this like mood board set up, and she had really like done a lot to establish the look.
She did a great job.
She really did a great job. She's like you, like she is a great leader, works really well with actors, and knows the technical stuff, like the full package.
Yep.
And so she had a lot of mood boards and the vision and the visuals all already established, and she knew what she wanted. So when it came to like choosing the outfit, for me it was about a certain feel and a physicality. And I'm not really like Jessica. So I needed that armor. I needed that thing that made me feel like her, like a badass, like someone that's very powerful. Someone wants to hide from the world, but yet will stand up for herself. And
I see it took a lot of fittings.
Thank you. But
no, I'm not talking about your character. I'm just talking about somebody who's like, just, again, an artist who's very confident and sort of knows how to make decisions and knows what she wants.
Yes.
Doesn't apologize for being
sure,
that.
For sure. But in terms of my posture, yeah. The way that I walk. And so
yeah, gotcha.
For me, like it was, I built Jessica first, like with doing a lot of research and a lot of prep work and hours with my acting teacher and physical training. Mm-hmm. And that started to help me find her body and like her weight, meaning like weight on her.
Right.
And then finding like the right outfit and a walk. Like I usually like start, I build my characters. I start to first find their physicality with a walk. And I can do like the Chloe walk. That was the first thing I came up with for Chloe.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the bitch in Apartment 23. Right. And then for Jessica, the walk was really different. And that's sort of like how,
okay,
how
so
I helped
find it. Okay, so what was the heroin walk from Jessica, from Breaking Bad? What was that walk like?
That was like sort of, she was sludging a little bit through life. You know, okay. She's such a sarcastic, you know.
I loved her.
Yeah, I loved her too. That was an amazing opportunity for me to get to be on that show because the best.
Great.
I mean, you're only as good as your scene partners, and with Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston, you have the best on television.
Amazing.
And now, obviously, David Tennant, and you know, I've got some good ones. I'm lucky.
Of course, of course. What is your, do you feel like there's a collaboration or an example of a collaboration that you feel like, and you can go back, because you have done so many movies. Like, yeah. I was looking at your IMDb. I mean, you have done how many movies?
A ton. I've been around a while. I would say the best collaborations I've had would be Ninotchka Khan from Don't Trust the Bee, Jessica Goldberg. I worked with to do this tiny movie called Refuge. The movie was made for like $100,000. I'm really proud of it. I think if there was maybe like five extra dollars to be had, we could have made the movie even better.
Right. And you don't even have to tell me names, just like an example of like,
yeah,
what it was like, why it was so good.
Why it was so great is I got the script originally and I work on everything with my acting teacher, who is my biggest collaborator.
Well, that's awesome.
Her and I go through everything. But then Jessica and I would sit with the script every day. I'd go to her house. We'd sit at her table for hours and go through it and read the scenes and make sure like, okay, this line maybe doesn't quite fit in my mouth. Because the movie was originally a play, and so it felt playish.
Right.
And so we were just like, we were working really closely on that before we even went to shoot the movie, which was awesome. When you have that with your director, and you just,
so
yeah,
so
it's such a specific relationship that when it hits, it can be like one of the most special things.
Well, I think when it hits, then you're able to like, something else happens.
Yeah.
It's almost like another entity, something else happens.
Yeah.
That's bigger than both of you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I know it makes sense.
Totally.
To you.
I felt that way on Jessica Jones with SJ in the beginning because I relied on her so heavily because mm-hmm. I was so nervous. There was so much pressure. And then I just kind of like, we were just in it together. And that's how she works too. You know, I have a lot of scenes where I'm by myself.
Right.
And Don't Trust the Bee, like I was really in it with my scene partners.
Right.
I was with the same people all the time.
Right.
With Jessica Jones, I was alone a lot.
Right.
Or maybe like Rachel Taylor didn't work for a week and I was just like by myself. And so I really sort of hung on to SJ and connected with her and was like, okay, I guess that's my constant on set.
Right.
And then she left and then you got to like adjust to the next guy and the next guy. And then luckily someone like you comes along.
Yeah.
It's jarring at first because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm dealing with a whole different personality. I still need that thing. So it's about just getting in there and communicating with someone and hopefully there's good chemistry and there's an open dialogue.
Right, right. It's always hard. I mean, I always find it hard. Sometimes, you know, television is so difficult for people or, you know, Netflix, streaming, whatever. They don't understand like that a lot of times we're doing things and then we don't know what's coming ahead.
Right.
Sometimes the writers don't even know yet what's coming ahead. Or things right. evolve and change. Because, again, this is creative.
Right.
You know, it's storytelling, but it's not locked in stone.
Right.
And so that's always a challenge for me. Is that a challenge for you? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think with Jessica Jones, because I was in it so much, I didn't have time to get frustrated by that.
Got it.
And I sort of... Jessica is so informed by her past. That was enough. As long as I understood that and I knew how to respond to everything coming from that place, then I could handle anything. Mm. I think it's when you're unsure when you don't do your backstory work, that's when you're not grounded.
So that's what I wanted. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you too. When you go into a role, do you often find, or more often than not, that you have to create your own backstory or not? Even to Jessica Jones apart, because she has such great backstory.
Yeah, I mean, if for a film, for sure, you know, you can. Sometimes it's hard for TV. Maybe you find out an episode later you were an alcoholic and you're like, what? I wasn't in there. But you have to trust that your face to the audience represents the character.
I've had to be the deliverer of that news.
And you're
the
like,
actors.
What?
And then I watch their whole head like spin and I'm just like, oh God, they didn't know that already? Oh no.
You know, with Breaking Bad, I didn't know what was going to happen.
No, you didn't know, right?
I knew I was doing just a handful of episodes. I thought I was doing even less than I did, so it ended up being a cool run. But I don't think I knew that I was a former junkie. So.
Right.
Maybe I did. I feel like I didn't.
Really?
Because the scene that I auditioned with was my first appearance in the show. It was just, you know, Aaron Paul's character Jesse comes to rent my apartment.
Right.
And
that's it.
That's all I read.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning.
And the director at the time, like, sat me down and was like, okay, so this is what's going to come. So you have to be really cool. And I remember Aaron and I had really lovely chemistry. So when we're doing the scene, I think we're both like lighting up a little too much.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like giggling or something because we're enjoying each other so much. And they really like made a point to like bring that down.
Right.
And bury that, which is probably why our chemistry came across so well, because it was all...
Yeah, it was all under the surface.
All shoved down deep.
Which is cool. Which makes it more real.
That's the best thing. Like when stuff is there but shoved down deep,
it's the
best. You see it.
I know. Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Look, I just told you, like before we came on, I just told you about my sister.
Yeah.
And like she just ended up in ICU. And like the whole family's there. And we're all standing around. And our sister is dying. And that's what the doctors are telling us. And yet none of us are talking about that. None of us are crying. None of us are wearing that. It becomes about this other weird dialogue and other things happening.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath, we're all freaking out.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about. That makes it more real.
That's real. That's how people are.
That's how we are.
And that's, I think, the difference, you know, when you see like a great performance, it's somebody who's like, knows that, isn't like, you know, hamming it up.
Right. Right, so interesting. So working with your acting, you have an acting coach that you've worked with for a long time.
A really long time.
Her name is Marjorie. What's cool about that, okay, you can put in a plug for her.
It is Marjorie Ballantyne. She's amazing. But I've been working with her since 2005.
That's awesome.
Back when I was so poor, I had to crash in her house.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah. What happened was I was a New Yorker, you know. I came to LA to do a pilot. No, I came to do like... groundwork. And then I was like, enough. I'm not an LA person. I got to go back to New York. And I had a really bad living situation as well. I think like I was living with some like people that were into drugs. I was really in a bad living situation. I didn't know these people.
Where
it was just
you?
Like in Los Feliz.
Okay, got it.
And so I wasn't digging LA. I thought it was really cool at first. I was like, oh, I like this isolation. I'll just be at home. But then like, you're like, you drive to these auditions. You just audition and then you get back in your car and you're alone. Yeah. And after 3 months, like I was like, I'm used to like seeing all these people on the street and having adventures every day, even if you don't try.
Right.
So I was like, that's it. I'm out. Of course, you book a plane ticket, you book a job.
Right.
So I booked a pilot and I finally told Marjorie what was going on. And she was like, what?
She's like, get over here. I have a bed. Get on this bed and
exactly.
Don't go there again.
Exactly. And all we did was like girls, like talk about acting and work on my auditions.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love that because then that makes it, I didn't even know about her, but it makes it even more amazing to me that you're so open with directors. That's so cool. You're just used to collaborating.
And you know what? I always have been. And
I
even when
that.
I'm writing something, I've written a few screenplays. I made a movie. I've written a couple pilots that have gotten, you know, or sold or whatever, but have not been made, which that's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
But I love writing with people.
Well, the movie that you wrote was Search Party.
I know.
No. Search Party is coming out.
Right.
Life Happens is the one that you co-wrote.
Yes.
With a friend of yours, or did somebody put you guys together?
No. At the time, we were actresses, like just hustling, doing pilot season. I was still living in New York, and she's like, come stay at my house. And we were just so hungry that we were just like, right. We wrote three features together.
So have you, okay. What happened to the other two?
Just kind of like moved on. I've gotten busy. Busy. So it's about, time management.
Do you find like that part of you? Do you still have the desire to write or no?
Yeah, I love writing. And I also, I have my company, Silent Machine.
Right.
So I get to sort of fill that creative side of myself when I'm busy doing Jessica Jones or something else, coming up with ideas, collaborating with writers. I always feel like not only do things get done so much faster, but you get better.
I agree.
I remember I would write a scene and send it to my writing partner and she would make it better. And then I'd get, because of something she just wrote, I had a couple ideas for a joke and things would get done faster. And I always felt like two heads are better than one. So I've always been really into collaborating, whether it's with my costume designers, whether it's with writers, whether it's with directors, with the showrunners of my show.
Yeah.
So that's how I work. And I've been fortunate to work with people who encourage that.
Right. What's an example of something, again, you don't have to name names, but something where it just didn't work? And why? Why made it? Is there a job that you're ever just I can't wait for this fucking job to be over? And again, you don't have to say which one, but a movie, a TV, anything.
Yeah, I have felt, for sure, that I have felt sometimes in life, there are people that you just don't really get along with.
Yeah.
And then there are some people that instant love fest. And that's all there is to it.
Right.
And so when that happens and you're stuck, it's a bummer.
So how do you do your best work under those circumstances?
I kind of just put my head down and kind of keep going and just kind of compartmentalize.
Okay.
I just focus on what I have to do. I try not to get sucked into it.
Got it. It's easier in TV because it's temporary.
Yeah.
In a movie, has that happened in a movie? You're just okay, or there's a co-star. You're just I've just got to get through this movie.
Yeah, or a play. Could be anything.
Because I'm
sensitive. I think when I was younger, if I didn't get along with somebody or the collaboration wasn't there, I would get upset and want to fix it. What can we do? And now it's it's the same. You are in charge of your own experience.
Right.
So you can always make the best of things.
Right.
So I guess now I'm older and I'm more experienced. That's what I try to do.
I think sometimes you're right. I think that sometimes having a level of confidence
and
experience gives you a certain openness to just let people be.
Yeah.
And you can still focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And do the best you can.
And confidence only comes from time and being prepared.
I think so. I think being prepared is
Being prepared is it. I feel the most confident and the most free when I have done all of my work.
Me too, because then I can show up and let it all go.
And be totally free.
Yeah, I don't need
to improvise. Yeah, exactly.
But I know, isn't that funny?
If I'm not prepared, I won't be able to sleep. I can't procrastinate.
Right.
Even as a little kid, I couldn't go outside and play until my homework was done.
That's probably a big part of the reason why you're successful, besides being beautiful and super talented. That discipline.
It is 100%, because there are quote unquote beautiful, talented people everywhere.
Right.
People more talented than I am. People more beautiful than I am. But I work really hard.
Right.
And I think that definitely gives you a bit of an edge.
That's good. I feel that way too. I feel like I work all the time. So sometimes I work so much.
So much that it's too much.
That is too much.
And I'm finally figuring that out.
I'm trying to let go.
Yeah, the world doesn't stop if you say no to something. I guess that's the truth, which I'm just figuring it out.
Well, I think
it's about balance.
It's also when you have so many projects going on at a time. I find myself with a lot of things, and then for my creative life, to keep myself fulfilled, I have to go.
You like to have a lot of different things. Okay, got it.
And so the movie becomes my baby, and the first movie was very difficult because everything was so big, and I took it to heart. I was so sensitive. And now I'm just too busy to only be focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel it's forced me to step back and let go in a way where, okay, the universe is going to take care of it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's on its own time.
Yeah.
I can just focus. And that's the gift of directing television, is when I'm on that planet, Jessica Jones, I'm on that planet 1,000%. Nothing else even.
So it's amazing to be able to have that much variety.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. It's my favorite thing. That's why I started my company. It's why I like to do this. I like to do this. And and even when I was doing Don't Trust the Bee, I was producing a pilot at MTV. Like, I always like to my hands in a little bit of everything.
I know. That's good. And also, I think that helps. Anyway, I think that helps me to let go of the results of what's going to happen with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because you put your heart in everything, but then you can keep your heart in it, but not feel like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say. Just sort of to feel free to play and not bear down so heavy.
Right.
On like, this is it. This has to be like, and it ends up being great.
It ends up being great.
Because you're more relaxed in it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Does that happen to you?
Yeah. You know, Tim on Jessica Jones had said to me like halfway through, because I was like, this has to be great. Like, I have to be great. We can't like shoot it anymore today because I have to learn these 4 pages tomorrow. That's a big scene. He's like, Kristen, you got this. Like, you'll be fine. And I'm like, no. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have to do this. And then it ends up being fine.
I know. It ends up being fine. Because you do know it.
You do know it.
And I loved him.
And you got to let, and the magic does kick in.
It does kick in. I know. It's just sometimes, I don't know what it is about, like, maybe just being a human being and an artist on top of it. It's just this idea of, like, doubting sometimes. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to have to use that. I don't want that to fuel me. I don't want the doubt of, like, it's going to work this time. Is it going to be there this time? I have so much proof that it's there. And yet sometimes I go into things and I can't sleep well at night, or I just have this anxiety, like, what if this time it doesn't work?
Yeah, but I think that's good.
You do?
I think it's good to be nervous. I think it's good to feel those kind of stakes, because that means you're not complacent. You know what I mean? Like, you're still, like, you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you want to be great. Because you want to be great and you love it.
I know, but I'm tired.
I know, I'm tired too. I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Sometimes I'm just like, can I just get a good night's sleep, please?
I know. Right now I'm like, tomorrow I have to set my alarm. But and these days where I don't have to set my alarm, like, it's like the most exciting thing.
It is.
Like, wait a minute, I don't have a meeting until the afternoon. That means I don't have to set my alarm. I can wake up organically.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's
we
best.
Get up so early.
We get up so
when
early.
When we work, we get up at like 4:30, 5
when we
o'clock.
We work for 80 hours a week.
We are really crazy.
It's a lot.
Our unions have to do something about this. It is too many hours.
I think that for television, especially when, because it's not a sprint. Like with a movie, I found with a movie you can kind of just like get by. You got to have a Diet Coke. You need some Advil, take an Advil. With television, you have to take such good care of yourself to be able to endure endure the schedule.
Right.
I think the hours are a little too long in television when a 17-hour day is not that unusual.
Right.
That's a little too long. I think I would love for them to do 12-hour days. 12-hour days. And for me, that would be 14-hour days because actors come in early.
I try to do 12-hour days.
That's awesome.
I mean, most of the time, that's what we did.
When I say that to people outside of the industry, like to my family, I'm like, you know, if we could just do like 14-hour days, they're like, what? Like my dad, my boyfriend's dad, they're always like, what are you talking about?
Well, I hit a wall. I hit a wall at 12 hours. I don't even have to ask like the first AD, like what time it is.
Uh-huh.
I just know I'm at 12 and it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to wrap it up. It's like, it's all going to be good. And I stay on that clock like all day long. How much time? Where are we at? Just because I know, it just feel like it keeps everyone's energy going if you're just aware and keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Keep it moving.
Well, television does keep moving. I think that there is a misconception that there's a lot of sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess there is, not if you're Jessica Jones. No. There was like a joke with, I don't know if you remember Nick, our adorable first team PA. That I would like go to sit down in my chair. Okay, they're ready for you to do something else. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I don't even know why you bother sitting down.
I know.
But that said, it was good for the part.
Right.
Because like, I was like so immersed in it.
Right.
I knew I could handle anything.
How did you relate? Did you relate to her at all? Her character, her trauma, anything that she's been through? Like, did you relate to her as a broken?
No. I mean, I could tap into like that vulnerability I think that she has and that toughness that she has.
Mm-hmm.
But I just spent a lot of time like trying to figure out who she was. I would like be alone in my apartment with the scripts. I had to move to New York to do the show. And I am somebody who has a lot of girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And I see them a lot. So being in New York completely alone and isolated and in an apartment that doesn't have my furnishing and being on set, it all helped. It all helped like find that just isolation. She didn't have anybody. I didn't have anybody. I didn't have my friends there. I didn't have like my cast members there every day.
Right.
So just it kind of just like all, it was one of the craziest experiences of my life, but the most like creatively fulfilling, because that was like full immersion. And I've never worked that hard on anything.
Right.
Like really building a character from the boots up.
I know. It was great. And it's did fun. You have any idea? I mean, I think everyone's a little surprised at how much people loved. I mean,
I'm sure that
we're all having fun.
I'm sure everyone was. I'm sure people are surprised, but I'm really stoked about it.
It's really exciting.
Listen, I knew that we were making something good. I knew I was working my ass off, and I've always said to everyone I've ever met, younger girls, my sister, hard work pays off.
Right.
Because I've believed that up until Jessica Jones, I believed that.
Right.
Because I am from a farm in Pennsylvania. And at one point, I had $60 in my bank account.
Right.
I had a girlfriend show up with Indian food, and I know the hard work pays off. And doing Jessica Jones took it to another level. And I was like, this is gonna be good. All of these people from our grips, our sound department, our craft services, everybody is sludging and crushing it and bringing their A game. I was like, this is gonna be really good. And when I saw the final product, I cried. I saw it with Jeff Loeb at his office. And I'm pretty sure that he didn't know what was happening. So I had my publicist with me, and it ended. And I was just like stuck. I was like, oh my God. And he was like, he doesn't know what to do with me.
You know, he's also seen it how many times.
And he's a man and he's a dude. And he doesn't know how like this actress is going to respond. So, and I was just like, oh my God, thank God it's good. And he was like, oh, sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And once they like sprinkled that fairy dust on there and the special effects and the music and oh God, the performances from the whole cast, I was just so blown away.
I really was happy with the script that I got.
I thought your episode was fantastic.
Thank you so much. I just loved it because episode 10, because I loved it because I felt like, again, every time you go into... I got a good one. But every time I go into any episode, right? I always do my homework and I looked at what the actors have done and I'm tracking the characters. And then I'm like, well, what if there's... I'm always hoping and thirsty for a script that will show me something different in the character.
Right.
And so I felt so happy with the opportunity to see you, you know, Jessica Jones, sort of so vulnerable, even wearing a dress and just like a different side to her. And to sort of be able to have that moment was like such a gift.
Yeah.
To me, that was such a gift.
And we got to do that fun stuff with Hope.
Oh my God.
And the nooses. So good.
Oh my God.
I got that to was go up crazy. on the wire.
Seeing like pulling yourself. Oh my God.
That was
God.
A big episode. But that stuff with Carrie Ann Moss and and Wendy.
Oh yeah.
Hogarth crazy. And Wendy.
Crazy.
I mean, that scene was very effective when I watched it. It was so intense.
I know.
I thought Carrie Ann Moss did really great work in that episode.
We did a great work, and Robin was great. I mean, I love all the actors.
Yeah, Robin was really great in that, too.
Robin was great, and let's just say Christopher Place, our stunt person.
Love me some Christopher Place, the man who taught me how to throw a punch.
He was great, though.
Yeah.
Again, great collaboration.
Really great. I really enjoyed the stunt team because I've never done stunts before. I've never had to do anything like that. And he would kind of come over and just be like, Kristen, make sure you keep your foot like this so you look strong. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
He would look out for me so I would look tough.
Yeah, which is, that's what you want him to do.
Yeah, and I don't want him to like yell across the room like, Kristen, you look like a wimp. Like,
I know.
Come and like just tell me and help me.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
That would be fine. I can handle it. I know, but it wouldn't be good. So the screenplay that you did, what was it like? Because you also starred in that movie, Life Happens.
Yeah.
So how was it writing, like creating, you just said Jessica Jones, you created that character from the boot, like from the boots up, right?
Yeah.
So how was it?
I mean, because the scripts were good. I didn't do it. I have to give credit to Mel. You know what I mean?
No, of course. But in terms of like
how she feels and how she looks and all of that.
Yeah.
I'll take credit for that one.
No. Melissa Rosenberg rocks it out. She's amazing.
She rocks it out.
She's amazing. But when you created this character for Life Happens, how was it creating that character yourself completely and then playing the character?
Well, interestingly enough, that was not the character that we created for me.
Oh.
I was going to play the other role. That Kate Bosworth played. And then we went through, like, here's the thing. Like, that was a long time. And I'm curious to hear how the process of your movie was. But we first had, like, this great little independent, edgy, raunchy script. And it got a lot of attention in town. We started getting a lot of fancy phone calls, fancy meetings, all of that. We switched agents. Like, it was a moment.
Yeah.
And then we set it up with like a big producer to do like big studio style. So we did that first, then it did not get greenlit. And then we retooled it with the television side of this fancy producer, and took it out to ABC and changed the name and all of that, but same concept.
For a series, not for a series. TV movie.
Yeah. For a series. Totally
got
changed.
Got it.
And then, that looked good. Also did not get greenlit. So then we were like, you know, why don't we just go back to like the before it was a TV version,
back
before
to the
it was a studio
version.
Film version. Let's just do like the thing that it was. And it wasn't like the same exact draft. Of course, we had learned so much and done so much development that the script got better. But we went back to what we started with and raised money. And WME, our agent, helped us find the dough. And we put it together with actors that we knew. Mm-hmm. We were so scrappy. Called up like Kristen Johnson, who's amazing and so funny. Like, will you play this part? Yes. Justin Kirk, will you play this part? Yes. Jason Bigg, will you play this part? Yes. It just went on like that.
Right.
And when Kate Bosworth read the script, and we brought her in as a collaborator to help, you know, sell the movie on her name and in the combined, mm-hmm. you know, batch mm-hmm. of names. And she wanted to play the Dina role. So we're like, okay.
Just like that?
Just like that. And then, you know, there came a time we kept doing rewrites. And then when we got to filming, I mean, I just took the script as if I didn't write it and went to my acting teacher and we worked on it and broke it down like that.
So that was, that's cool.
I was able to sort of take the hat off.
Got it. Well, the first movie that I made was very autobiographical.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was about a dark part of my life, like drug addiction, craziness, homeless, like really insane. And so sometimes people would ask me, like, how hard was that? And it was like, it wasn't, because I was being a director. I wasn't reliving my life.
Right.
Like, I had a script that I spent years writing, and it was actors doing it. Like, it was.
It takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, and you kind of separate yourself from what this role to that role, and it just happens naturally.
Yeah.
But how long was that process?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's quick. For me, it takes me fucking way longer.
But 4 years.
It's like really depressing.
4 years for like a 26-year-old is like,
no,
I don't know.
I know.
That's
I know.
Where we started. I don't know.
I think the first movie took me about 8 years to get it made. And then we were at Sundance in 2001.
Yeah.
And then I've been in festivals with this movie now for the past year. And
yep.
still winding up its festival route. So, and I shot it about 2 years ago. So, yeah, that's like a lot of years.
Yeah, it definitely like is a chunk of time that you spend with the movie.
It took me like 12 years to get it made.
Yeah. Which is why I got super into television. After Don't Trust the Bee, I was like, when I was doing Life Happens, I was like, I just want to do cool indies like this. And then I had such a great experience with Don't Trust the Bee. Like the pace, like you do a pilot and then it's going to get on the air. Hopefully, usually it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a schedule.
It's definitely more about instant gratification.
It is.
And for me as a director too, I'm sure as you, as an actor, it's like, I get on set. At least I have time on set with actors doing what I love and with cameras and, you know, like I get to play.
Yeah.
And God, I've got to get it down to 4 years though. That's my new goal.
Totally.
4 years.
4 years. And maybe less.
That's true. Why not think big, right? I'm like, oh my God. But going back to like your preparation and stuff and how disciplined you are, is there anything that you do like when you're prepared just on a daily basis that helps you get through the day? Or does all the shit that you do really come in between jobs?
For like a specific role?
Yeah, or just for a role or just in life, just to keep yourself centered. Or what do you do? Like what kind of, how does your routine vary when you're working versus when you're not working?
Yeah. So, and there's different kinds of working. Obviously, if I'm on set, if I'm on a movie, that's it.
Right.
And I'll try to like balance what I can with like my production stuff and answer emails that I can and think about it on weekends and do like a weekly call or something. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing something like Jessica Jones, like maybe you can't even do that.
I know.
Because it's so hardcore.
I can't either, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, and that was hard for me to accept at first because I've always been able to, like, handle everything, and then all of a sudden I can't. I'm like, why is it me?
Right.
Oh, it's okay. I just have to like, and if you're okay with it, then that's one less thing to worry about.
Well, that's what I'm saying before. That's what I was saying. Like, it's almost like forces you to let go.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. And I've actually like read interviews with some actresses that I love who, I think it was Elizabeth Banks. I hate to paraphrase her and butcher it, but she said something like when she's acting, then it's that's like 12 hours a day where nobody can reach her.
Which is good.
It's like vacation.
Right.
And it's like being in school. Like you're like, oh, I'm in school now.
I always think it's like being like in front of the slot machine or the casino or something. Like nothing exists except that.
Totally. I love a slot machine. I just went to Vegas recently because I usually win at slot machines. And I like,
how'd
no,
you do?
It wasn't Vegas. Where did we go? We went to Joshua Tree and on the way back we stopped at Morongo.
Oh, casino. Shit. I know that place.
It was dark.
Nasty. Go ahead.
It was dark. And I lost like $60 in 10 minutes on like penny slots. Just one more time. One more time. One more time. Like, I gotta go. I gotta go.
We just did that too in New Mexico. It's and so then fun. We went through the airport. We connected in Las Vegas. So you know all the slot right. machines were Las Vegas. That's
well, because there's
why
like
I just said that
urban
analogy.
Myth that, oh, the person in the airport, they lost it all in Vegas, then went to the airport and won $4 million. And so that urban myth, like,
I know. Well, I was wondering how many people actually missed the plane.
Oh God, it's pretty sad.
But we actually won. We actually won.
Oh good.
Won.
But I anyway. Always win.
But I just equated, I think because my dad was a bookie.
Oh, really?
So, like, going to the track is the same thing. So
oh, yeah, always, we talked about this, because remember, I would get lottery tickets
right,
for the crew. You
right,
told me.
Yeah,
yeah,
scratch tickets.
Yeah.
So I always equate, for me, it's like when you're planted somewhere and nothing else matters. Basically, it's like what I really get to let go of is all my bullshit.
Yeah.
All my fear, my anxiety, my stress.
Oh, yeah. Just go be, there. Like, whoever. Yeah. I always think that I love being on set. I love it more than anything. Mm-hmm. I feel very alive.
Me too.
I'm kind of joking around. Like I have a really good time.
I know. Me too.
It's the best.
I know.
Being on set is the best.
It is.
But it's then there's different parts of working because then like you have to promote things.
I know.
Which is like a whole other muscle.
Right.
And then now like I'm reading a lot of scripts and taking a lot of meetings, which is a totally different muscle.
Do you enjoy that part? I don't enjoy that part so much.
I think, well, I have right now because, well, you know, the show is kind of doing well. So it's not a terrible time to
no,
go
no,
take
you're
meetings.
You're getting good shit now, right?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
shit is like going up
yes.
a notch, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting the scripts that are actually good.
Yeah. Well, you should be. It's this, you know, the bar is high.
Okay,
I will
right.
say that after Jessica Jones.
Right.
But yeah.
And so how do you go about then making the next decision to what you want to do next? I mean, we know Jessica Jones is going to come back for season two.
Yeah.
But
and I'm going to also do The Defenders.
But do you feel the pressure of, I want to make this? Like, you know, in our careers, we're both successful in our careers. So people don't necessarily understand that you're just happy doing what you're doing. But like, I want more.
Yeah.
I always want more because more means more creative opportunities.
Right.
And to like have more opportunities to tell stories from our heart.
Right.
Right. And more creative control.
Right.
Over the material that we're going to do. And so do you feel like pressure about what your next move will be?
Yeah, I do. Because you have people being like, oh, you can't do a bad movie on your hiatus. And you're like, huh, because I like to act. I like to work.
Yeah.
So that's scary. Also, I think, you
people
know.
People meaning?
I haven't, you know, like people in the.
Like friends?
No.
Agents?
Like industry.
Yeah. Those kind of people.
Yeah.
Got it. And who knows what that?
You
Nobody
never know.
Who knows what that means?
Nobody knows.
I know. Okay, go ahead.
For me, I want you know it's gotta be good. It's gotta have a message. I like to play strong women,
mm-hmm.
And I like to have great scenes with another actor. And it could be a big movie. It could be a little movie. It could be a play. It doesn't really matter where you find it. It's about the script.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, so that takes a lot of pressure. Because I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm like, the pressure in my mind is always, okay, I want to direct the next James Bond movie.
Okay.
Like, I literally go, like, yeah. That's where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do other things in between.
But right.
That's where I'm like, that's the bar I've, like,
right.
set for myself.
You should put it on your refrigerator.
I'm putting it out to the universe on my podcast.
Totally.
Just like
Rosemary Rodriguez, the next Bond movie.
But do you do
with a female Bond?
Exactly. No, of course, with starring Kristen Ritter.
Yeah, but, you heard it here.
But do you put that pressure on yourself? You're really just like, I just want to find work that I want to do.
Right now, I want to find work that I want to do because I'm beat up. I'm tired.
Right.
You know. Right now, I got to find like a balance. I got to take care of myself. I have to prepare for what's next mm-hmm. physically.
Mm-hmm. Meaning working out.
Yeah, working out and just getting my immune system up to where it needs to be, which takes a lot of discipline and time.
Yeah.
And get like, and just to have also a little downtime for myself. So if I go to work, it's going to be, it has to be really worth it and really great.
I think the other thing.
It's not, I worked for almost a year straight. You know what I mean?
Like, no,
that's
I get
a long time.
Without a break. I know. It's a long time.
So, you know, it's good to like take the break when you can.
Right. Again, because, okay, other people might say, oh, well, a year, big deal. It's a year of like 16 hour days.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. I mean, of course, anybody
so
would say
work.
Like, oh, you worked for a year. But it is. It's
so much
it's,
work.
It's between 60 and 80 hours a week. And you have no friends and you have no life. And
look what's going to happen when you're in season 7 of Jessica Jones.
Yeah. I'll be half broken.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I think the important thing for me is to, I put a lot out.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put stuff back in.
Right.
Because I don't think you could be a great artist if you don't have anything to say, if your experiences are only on set or they're only at, like, talk shows and events.
Right.
I want to, like, I've been reading books. I need to read books, which
you're
I don't do.
You're a big book reader.
And I didn't read a single book when I was shooting.
Right.
So this is, like, me getting some time back.
And what else do you do besides read books?
Well, right now, I'm going to Pilates and to yoga.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
Nice.
And when I say now, I mean like for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, but that's okay.
Yeah. And just having like a little bit of a staycation.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've
been really
loving it. So what do you do for fun?
It.
Like what's really fun?
I really like knitting.
You do?
Yep, I like knitting. I mean, honestly, like a perfect day for me right now would be like sleeping in, reading my book when I wake up. Because I like to read first thing while I'm still like cozy in my jammies.
Nice.
And then go to like a great Pilates class or something or a yoga class with my girlfriends and then go to the spa, like the Korean spa in LA. Mm-hmm. Do you ever go to those?
No. In New York, I go on 96th Street to this Chinese place.
It's probably a similar thing, but they're very, very inexpensive.
Yeah.
And you go and you soak and you sweat and it's not expensive at all. It's not even like that luxurious. You mm-hmm. just like, it's just really about taking time for yourself.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, the final thing that I wanted to talk about, because I know... You know, our jobs make us go on the road. And you talked about being in New York.
Yeah.
I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New York director. But I'm, you know, feel that my home is in L.A. And I travel. I could be in Pittsburgh. Last year I was in Pittsburgh for a couple months. This summer I'll be in Atlanta. Like, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
And something I think that makes it difficult is the fact that we're away from our loved ones.
Right.
Like, so much.
Yeah.
And... sometimes, you know, that might affect the collaboration of other people because I just like to feel that my person, like my husband, is like there and like my cheerleader at the end of the day. And he's great, even if it's just on the phone.
Yeah.
Like it helps me to like get rid of all the shit and then go in like starting fresh the next day.
Yeah, that's, you need support. You have to have support. Our jobs are crazy in that way. Getting a job means leaving home.
Right.
99% of the time. I mean, really, what shoots in Los Angeles?
I know.
I saw a movie they sent me a couple days ago, and I hadn't even read it yet, and saw that it shoots in L.A., and I was like, I'll take the meeting. You know, that's an exaggeration.
No, but I feel that
way.
But
it never really happens. So taking a job means leaving home and living in hotels and getting out of a routine. And I find, like, now as I get older, I really like having a routine. So that's definitely an adjustment. But having either your significant other, for me, it's my dog.
Mm-hmm. Mikey.
Mikey, I'm just going to show him off. There he
Mikey.
Is. Hi, Mike.
Mikey's so cute.
Hi, Mikey. And I take him, as you know,
Mikey
I take
was
him
sick
everywhere.
During our episode, remember?
He got sick twice in New York. He was like, where did you take me, lady?
He's like,
we went to the moon. We got a spaceship and he went to the moon and now I'm in a puffy coat. And I had to put these little, like, balloons on his feet because we went outside and I didn't know this.
Right.
And the salt that they put on the sidewalks, I take Mikey out and all of a sudden he starts screaming like I've never heard anything. And I pick him up and I try to wipe it off. I take him upstairs to wipe off his feet.
It was, like, burning
the
his
salt
paws?
Was burning his little paws.
Shit.
So then I had to put these balloons on his paws. He was, like, miserable. And then...
he's like, get me on that spaceship again,
yeah,
please.
Let's go back on the spaceship. And then... there was an accident when I was working. Somebody opened a door and his little paw was under there. So he had like a little cut in his paw.
Oh my God.
And of course I was working when it happened. I'm like, I'm sorry, what happened?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's all good now.
But he was good. He got better. He got better in our
He's home in LA and he's actually gained a few LBs.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm like, I picked him up. I'm like, what happened to you? Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Well, we have just a few minutes left. So tell me, before we go, what your company, Silent Machine?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff are you trying to do? You're trying to do movies and TV?
Mostly TV, because we have one movie in development.
Okay.
Which is based on a book that a girlfriend of mine found, and it's set in Nashville, country music scene, which is something I love. People don't know this, but I'm from a farm, so I like grew up with country music. Mm-hmm. I am like country all the way.
Nice.
And so a lot of TV stuff, I try to work with a lot of women. I think we have one or two guys in there, but mostly our slate of writers is all
they're
women.
They're in the back of your mind.
Yeah. And they're like ones that I'm really comfortable with. I don't know. I could like, they're guys that you can still like hang out with with your pajamas and eat ice cream.
They're guys that get it.
Yeah, guys that get it. Yeah. They get me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
Which is a thing. I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
And your family must be super proud of you, right?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm in the paper a lot. In the little small town that I'm from.
So but you're in magazines a lot.
Right, and I'm in real magazines.
You're doing
but
some
I mean,
killer like photo shoots. Can
thank
we just
you.
Say that?
Thanks.
Like some of the stuff you have on and what your look is like amazing.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's fun to change it up. And
it's fun, right?
Yeah.
You feel like when you're doing that you're playing a character of Kristen Ritter versus like Kristen Ritter, or is that just like
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not like, oh, that's me and Mike. That's how I look when I go to the grocery store.
I don't
it's
see
not
you
that.
Like that.
No. And nobody should. I wear like my boots that I've been wearing for 10 years and black jeans, and that's it. But it's fun. It's fun to get dolled up. Also, because like my makeup artist is my best friend and my stylist is my best friend. Yeah. So I have like this great luxury. Like every time I have to go to work for one of those things, I'm with my best friends.
Right, right. Which is awesome.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. And how was it when you go and do like the Comic-Con? How was that?
You know, Comic-Cons are so new to me. Obviously, I've never done anything in this genre before, but it's so rad. I mean, it blows my mind how getting that fan reaction face-to-face, like how affected people are by Jessica Jones.
Right.
And the message and how she doesn't let trauma define her. Like, that's really resonated with a lot of people,
yeah.
Women especially.
Yeah.
And so I've really appreciated having that interaction. I've only been to a couple of them.
Right.
But I was like, this is awesome. I'm out there. I'm walking the floor. I'm looking at the artwork.
No, it's cool. I mean, I think people that have so much enthusiasm, it's like I decided only because of Jessica Jones, I decided, okay, I'm going to get on Twitter now.
Yeah.
And
oh, really?
So
you're
I
new to Twitter?
An account, totally new.
Yeah.
And just did it basically and planned it because I'm like, okay, start streaming.
Have
like
you
on
felt
Thursday.
A difference since Jessica Jones came out in terms of meetings and opportunities or conversations?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got an episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, well,
and I don't know if that
great.
Influenced or not. But basically, I came from an actor, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, on The Good Wife, who's like playing this badass character on Walking Dead, like next season. He just came on this season, the end of the season. And like he put in a good word for me with the, you know, producer there. But I'm sure it must help.
Yeah.
I don't really know concrete ways. But what I do like about the Twitter thing is like, there's things I don't like about it. But what I did like about it, like I planned it so that I knew it started streaming Thursday. Okay, episode 10 will be sometime Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna hit it hard over the weekend and get on. And what I didn't know was that I was gonna connect with people who actually notice shots.
Yep.
They notice things. Like they're
that's
really
the thing. When
in
you,
it.
The people do, they notice everything. And sometimes
and
people are
that.
Finding things that I didn't even realize at
but
the time.
Cool?
It is amazing. It's
and
amazing.
It's also because we work so hard with so many people and everyone's always on to the next,
yeah.
next, whether it's the next episode. Sometimes they forget to just say, hey, good job or thanks or whatever. I don't hear feedback.
Right.
And so, wow, I'm like, wow, this woman in like Ohio or whoever is like noticing that shot or that performance.
I totally agree.
Or they get that there's a director involved in it at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is like, that's so cool. Like,
right.
I really appreciate that so much. So,
yeah, we got really lucky. Obviously, like the work has paid off. And also, you know, the critics got behind the show, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I think without them, the show wouldn't be as big as it is because they're the ones that are watching everything. There are so many shows now, and they're the ones that are being like, these are the ones to watch. And so I'm really grateful to the critics, also to our fan base. Oh, yeah. And I feel like we just came out at a really great time in terms of the conversations that have been happening around women and inequality and the things we want to see in female protagonists and rape culture. We just really...
And also to take these superheroes and like make them so different than the movies.
Oh, yeah.
To really focus on like being on the ground and in the world, like real characters.
I feel like Jessica Jones is the most character-driven thing Marvel has done because it's slow at times. Right. It's quiet at times. It is just Jessica Jones. I mean, it's 13 hours of Jessica Jones.
Right.
Which is awesome. I'm so glad that they did that. I mean, I knew the scripts were great from the second I read them. There is no other part I would want to play on television.
Well, can I just tell you honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm super fucking happy for you.
I'm super fucking happy for
you. You really deserve like all the success. I just loved working with you. I love that you were like, I'll come down and look, social media has kept us in touch.
Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
Totally.
I mean, I love it. It can be a little distracting.
Oh my God.
I got to put it down.
Me too. It's like crack.
I know.
So distracting.
I know.
I had to turn off on my iPad because it was starting to like bleed into my iPad, which that's how I read my scripts.
Right.
On planes especially.
Right. Me too.
I'm reading something and get like, oh, you got a new text message or something. Got to turn that shit off. I don't get notifications from any of my social medias.
That's good.
I only get like text messages.
Well, I'm glad that we can stay in touch like this.
I know, me too.
It means a lot. So you're in this movie Search Party that's coming out, I think in May.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know.
Okay, I think in May. And we'll look for you season two. Do you want to tell listeners anywhere else or anything else they should be looking for, or where to find you or whatever?
Yeah, well, you can find me at Pilates. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna be in Jessica Jones 2 and The Defenders. I'm not allowed to talk about when or all of that, but
we're looking forward to it.
Stay tuned.
We are definitely
looking
forward to it.
Big shit's popping.
Big shit is popping. Oh my God, on April Fool's, there was like a thing put out. I was gonna send you the link to this article.
I saw it. I saw it on your Facebook.
Did you see that?
I was like, whoa.
I know. Isn't that cool?
I was like, how many superhero shows are there going to be now? There's like 30. That would be 30.
I don't know. But I'm the only director mentioned in there.
So you are. Cool. You're helming all of them.
That's because of Jessica Jones.
Totally.
See, that's what happens. I have like new fans. Anyway, it's all good.
So you are going to be helming She-Hulk?
With
something else?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. I was going to say, and with you and James Bond.
Oh, yeah. And with me is James Bond.
Jane Bond.
Come on. Oh, my God. Happening.
The lost wife.
Happening. But it's total badass.
Sister. I like that better.
Younger.
Okay. Younger sister.
So it makes sense.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. And all you guys, thank you for listening. You can find me at Rosemary Directs on Twitter and Instagram. Kristen, what's your thing there?
Okay, so I'm just at Kristen Ritter on Twitter. And I have the unfortunate handle of the real Kristen Ritter on Instagram. And let me just tell you why. Because at one point, Instagram changed their policies and they were going to like own everything. So my publicist was like, oh, that's so annoying. My publicist, you know what I
mean. That's okay.
Was like, you should get off Instagram. So I did. And then some time went by. They didn't do whatever said policy. And I got back on and they wouldn't give me my name back.
Why?
I don't know.
So nobody else had your name.
No one else has my name, but they just wouldn't give it back to me. So Instagram, hey, maybe you can give me my name back.
It would make life a little easier for all of us.
Totally. I just post pictures of my dog and my knitting projects anyway.
No, it's true. Well, it lets everyone know how down to earth you are.
Totally.
And what a cool chick you really are. I love that. Okay, so you can find me on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram. And look for Silver Skies. All right, Silver Skies, the movie on Facebook. Silver Skies is screening at Tiburon Film Festival Saturday night, this Saturday. It's going to close the Palm Beach Film Festival next Thursday.
Amazing.
And the following Sunday, it's going to play at Cinema Village in the Manhattan Film Festival. So I have a New York City screen.
Is it on iTunes yet?
It's not out yet.
But
it will be heading to distribution.
Got it.
Inching forward.
Totally.
Amazing. All right, cool. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Come on, people. It's time to live it up.